think I brought this one. Yes,
sir. One of the greatest needs for man today is leadership, direction. Jeremiah knew it long ago when he says, "Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man which walketh to direct his steps," Jeremiah 10:23. Solomon understood it, Proverbs 3:5-6. He said, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths." In verse 7, he said, "Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Man should not be wise in his own sight." Jesus absolutely knew it. In John 8:12, he says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have light of life." If you desire to be in this life, if you desire to have Jesus while you're in this life, it is with the understanding that you must follow his direction. Jesus in Matthew 16:24 says, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." We have a song in our books entitled, "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow." You remember that song? "Where He Leads, I Will Follow." So I've entitled this sermon, "Where He Leads." Where He Leads. I believe that every Christian ought to consider where Jesus is leading. And it could be the case that you may not want to go where Jesus is leading. Jesus himself says that one should count the cost to see if he wants to really do this, if he really wants to follow Jesus. In Luke 14:25-26, the Bible says, "And there went great multitudes after him." And as you see the scene, you can just see Jesus, as the Bible says, "And he turned unto them and says, if any man come after me, and hate not his father and his mother, his wife and his children, his brethren and his sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Don't you wonder why Jesus said that? This crowd is following Jesus, and Jesus says, if you're coming after me, you need to count the cost. You need to decide whether or not you really want to do the task that you are taking on. Do you really want to follow me? And why would Jesus then say, if you come after me, you must hate father and mother, brothers, sisters, wife and children, yea, in your own life also? Why would Jesus say that? Well, the reason Jesus says that is because mama may not want to go. Mama may not want to follow Jesus. And if mama decides she doesn't want to follow Jesus, what are you going to do? Daddy may not want anything to do with Jesus. And if daddy doesn't want anything to do with Jesus, what are you going to do? It could be that wife may not want to follow Jesus. Then what are you going to do when wife doesn't want to follow Jesus? You got to count the cost. You hate not father, mother, brother, sister, wife, and children. Yea, in your own life also, you cannot be my disciple. Reason being is because there may be some up in your family that don't want to go. Do you know how difficult it is for a man who marries a wife and she will not listen to it? She's never content with anything. Always complaining to him about everything. And just becomes and allows herself to become nothing more than a burden in his life. You know how difficult that is for any man? You know how difficult it is to try to make somebody happy who refuses to be happy? Do you know how difficult it is to know that you married this woman and for some reason she won't listen to anything you have to say? You can't tell her anything. That's a tough position for any man to be in, yet many men find themselves in that situation. Not outside the church, but in the church. There's probably men here, even among us right now, that if they had to be totally honest about it, they would say, whenever I tell my wife something, she does exactly what she wants to do. She doesn't listen to me. And I can tell when a man's having some trouble at home with his wife. It doesn't take long to figure that one out. You can see their interaction and the way they deal with each other. You know how difficult that must be? You see, she has decided that she's not going. She's not going to follow. She may have got wet in water, but she decided that she's really not going to follow Jesus, because required of following Jesus is that you obey your husband. But in society today, that's not a popular thing, so many women don't obey their husbands in and out of the church. Now, the hell is waiting for them, and that's where they go. You cannot go and be with God in heaven and disrespect or not obey your husband like he told you to. But yet, that's the plight of many men. You know how difficult it is for a woman who married a husband and he will not treat her right? He will not consider his wife? He will not provide for her the way God has required? You know how difficult it is for that woman to exist under those conditions of mistreatment from her husband, the one who's supposed to be her head and protecting her emotionally, physically, financially? Do you know how difficult that must be for any woman to live under that kind of situation? Her husband then decided that he doesn't want to go. That's why we have to count the cost. You know how difficult it is to watch your children leave the church? And partly because some members of the church offend your children. You know how many times I've talked to people about their children, and the reason their children left is because of stuff members in the church did? You see, the children account the cost, and they decided that following Jesus is not worth the offense. Jesus looks back and says, if any man come after me and hate not his father and his mother, they may not go with Jesus. What are you going to do? His wife and his children. She may not follow you. She may not listen to you. She may not be what God asked of her to be. She done decided she's not going to go. What are you going to do? Mistreat her because she's mistreating you? What are you going to do when your children leave the church because of stuff the church or members in the church did to them, said to them? We always got little mavericks running around in the church, always talking, always saying something, catching folks behind, out there behind the doors and pulling them aside and think they have the right to say something, offending people, and then people leave. Because everybody thinks they have a right to open their mouth and chastise somebody. Then what happens is you be offended. And you know what? Those folks leave, and then they're offended, and they can't come back to the church. But let me tell you something. There's no excuse for you either, because Jesus in Matthew 18 says, woe unto the world because of offenses. It is necessary that offenses must come, but woe unto the man that bring them. My friends, some people don't want to be offended, so when the offense comes, they leave. But guess what? You better count the cost. Whether or not you really want to follow Jesus turns to that crowd and he lets them know that he's not on his way to a picnic. We're not taking a stroll in the park. Jesus is heading to the cross. And if you're coming after me, you better be sure you're ready for what comes with that decision. You better be ready to deal with the trouble that comes from following Jesus. So Jesus in verse 27 says, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. My friends, those things are true of following Jesus. And I believe what happens sometimes is we get caught up. We get caught up in looking at the difficult, turbulent times. Listen, if you're going to follow Jesus, there's going to be some rough terrain and some rough areas that you're going to have to cross over in order to get where you're going. But let me tell you something. Sometimes we get so caught up on that, on the offenses and all those kind of things, we let that stop us from following Jesus. But my friends, have you really ever considered where Jesus is leading? Let me show you some places where Jesus is leading. See, if you want to get to the place where he's leading you, you're going to have to go through some of these things. That's why you counted the cost, recognizing that it was not going to be a bed of roses, but sometimes it was going to be a little rocky. It was going to be a little difficult. Sometimes it was going to be like going uphill. But my friends, in the end, you just need to follow Jesus for where he's leading. Let me show you several things, or several places, at least three things where Jesus leads. Look at Psalm chapter 5 and verse number 8. Jesus leads in the paths of righteousness. How does it read?
Lead me, O Lord.
Uh-huh. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness.
Because of mine enemies.
Make thy way straight before my face. Lead me in the paths of righteousness. in the moral path, in the natural path, in the legal path. David desires to be led in the path of God, in the path which God approves. My friends, it doesn't matter what circumstances, what situation arises in your life, it will never be wrong to do the right thing. And do you know when you need to make up your mind about doing what's right in any situation? Now. Not once a situation arises, you need to already have your mind made up that I'm going to do the right thing in any given situation. See, lead me in the paths of righteousness. He desires to follow the path that of the path of right conduct, because he does not want to be numbered among those God hates. God hates wickedness, and he hates the wicked every day. He's angry, foaming at the mouth against the wicked every day. David said he wanted to be led in the paths of righteousness because of his enemies. The enemies were those who were observing him. My friends, don't you know the enemies are observing you? You say you're a Christian? They watching you on the job. You shouldn't have put that out there. See, if you want to act like a heathen, don't tell somebody you're a Christian. Because now that they know you're supposed to be a Christian, they're always watching you. They are waiting for that opportunity whereby they may accuse you because of some kind of misconduct. David knew it. He was always being watched for his enemies. So his enemies are always looking and trying to find some kind of advantage where they can accuse David. You remember what David did with Bathsheba? And what he did with Uriah the Hittite? You know what God said to him? Why did you give the enemy an occasion to blaspheme? David realizes his enemy is watching him. So David prays to God to lead him in the paths of righteousness. We need to be sure of the path of God's righteousness lest we misstep and give the enemy an opportunity to discredit the cause of God and his church. My friends, we can bring shame and reproach upon the church because of our conduct. So David requires and asks of God to lead me in the paths of righteousness. Lead me in the moral path. Lead me in the natural path. Lead me in the legal path of his righteousness. Not only that, look at Psalm 23 and verse number 2. Where he leads beside the still waters. How does it read?
He maketh me to lie down.
He satisfies the appetite of the soul, provides repose of the spirit through the assurance of salvation and love. One of the responsibilities of the shepherd was to make sure that the sheep had tender grass for grazing. So he led them to luscious feeding areas. So the child of God shall not want. He shall not lack any sustenance. God is going to make sure he is provided for. He is going to supply all the essentials for our spiritual nourishment and growth. You won't lack for anything. God has well provided for the spiritual man to sustain that man. Not only does he take care of us physically, but he truly takes care of us spiritually. But sheep not only require food, they also require relaxation. So we are told here by the psalmist that he leads beside the still waters. That means the quiet waters, the waters of rest. Sheep.